He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Hello and welcome to the Monday, June 15th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. And we've got a lot of news going on out there today. We've got markets, a lot of green on the screen, except for oil. We've got the Dow up 1.14%. I need to look and see if that's hitting, getting close to an all-time high, I believe. The S&P 500 up 117 points. That's 1.58%. Very strong out the gates this morning. And we have the NASDAQ up 2.48%. That's 642 points. Getting a big boost from the supposed Iran-U.S. deal. We'll talk about that more here in a little bit. We've got crude oil down almost 6%, down to about $80 a barrel. That's a good sign. Gold getting a boost from a weaker dollar after the deal, up 3.48% to about $4,368 an ounce. And Bitcoin getting a little bit of shot in the arm as well, up to $66,324. That's about 1% today. So again, hello and welcome to the Monday, June 15th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am your host, Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital, playing relief captain for Bill today. And wow, what a weekend! Not much downtime. We had you know, a little bit of everything this weekend. Had the World Cup officially began. We got host sites all over North America, across Mexico, Canada, and many cities here in the U.S. Of course, USA started out hot out of the gate with I believe a 4-1 win on Friday evening. So. That'll get a little fervor, I guess, started for the USA chance in the World Cup. I you know, kept the kids up that evening and enjoyed it with the boys. They're into that, so we had a good time there. Of course, we also had two champions, I think, crowned over the weekend. The New York Knicks won the NBA championship, I guess, in five games, with yet another double digit comeback, I believe. And, we had, something closer to home here. The Carolina Hurricanes, won the Stanley Cup last night. I think that's their second time doing that, taking down Las Vegas. So I guess and then of course last night we had the UFC, fights on the lawn. There at the White House, that was a spectacle to say the least. So it was a pretty wild weekend. Of course, we had plenty of Iran news as well. So some geopolitical news out there. Sounds like we may as well have a deal apparently to be signed on Friday. And the markets are certainly getting a boost from that this morning. Like I said, we've got the NASDAQ surging up 2.34% at the moment. Of course, all this, you know, all this news comes on the heels of the SpaceX IPO on Friday, beginning Friday morning. And what a spectacle that was. It was almost like watching liftoff, just waiting for the stock to begin trading. It was supposed to start, I believe, at 10 a.m. about the time the show starts on Friday. And, you know, I don't think the first trade ended up going off a little bit before noon, but, it was certainly a wild ride. And, of course, once, it was all the dust settled or the smoke settled, whatever we want to say from taking off like a rocket, of course, Elon Musk is now the world's first trillionaire. So, congratulations to him. That's quite a feat there. Bill and I tend to refer to him as the P.T. Barnum of our era. So he's pulled another rabbit out of the hat, if you will. wealthier now than the next four richest individuals combined. And of course, one of those individuals is Jeff Bezos. So I guess the investing in rockets isn't the worst thing in the world. Who knew adult fireworks were going to be such a nice payoff. So of course we finished Friday on an up note. Like I said, the SpaceX Fuhrer kind of drove markets on Friday. The Dow was up 0.7%. S&P 500 was up 0.5%, and the NASDAQ was up 0.3% on Friday. And pretty much every sector participated. 10 out of 11 sectors were higher. I believe healthcare might have been the one that wasn't positive on Friday. But also, you know, other names. We got it's been, you know, it's kind of a wild week in the markets last week, particularly in the AI names. You know, we came off the sell-off of you know, not this past Friday, but the Friday before. Monday was a decent day. Got a, you know, felt good getting a bounce back after kind of, you know, previous Friday's kick in the pants. And then of course you had, you know, another down day, I believe, on Tuesday, and so it was a good bit of volatility. At least things finished up on a positive note on Friday. But you know, you had names like ARM coming back on Friday, up over 11%. Even a couple of the, you know, software names that have been getting hit. I think Adobe was up maybe 6% on Friday. So you had some I think shares of Adobe actually were down 6.5%. So those were some of the biggest movers. ARM up 11, Adobe down 6.5. Software continues to get hit on the AI front. But equity markets are around the globe are higher this morning, as you can imagine, with the Iran news of a peace deal apparently imminent, with the U.S. benefiting, you know, in the world economy benefiting and significantly impacting global asset prices. We've seen, you know, really seen across the board. We've already seen oil, you know, down 5% a barrel. Brent crude was also down pretty significantly around that same number. We had Asian markets up significantly. You had the South Korea's benchmark, the KOSPI, was up 5%. You know, this morning when I woke up, we had Japan's market up 4.92%. The Nikkei actually hitting, I believe, a historic record high. Cleared the 69,000 mark. So Japan getting a boost. As you can imagine, these economies that have been hit by, you know, higher commodity prices, particularly energy, oil prices. Japan, as we've mentioned, still a very, very big importer of their energy. South Korea, big chip-making country. They, you know, want to make sure we don't have any helium shortages and other inputs that are used in chip-making. So they're getting they've gotten a boost today. I think China was up maybe a little over 1%. Not a huge boost there. They've probably been figuring out other ways to get oil. They've been using some of their inventories. So haven't been quite as price dependent as some of the other Asian nations have been. As you can imagine, you know, Europe also doing well today. I think I saw where the German DAX up about 1.2% and reached its highest level since early June. France was up a little over 1%. Of course, they've been fighting through, you know, they've really had the most price pressures, particularly on the energy front, as we've seen, you know, just euro inflation go to about the 4% level. They also increased interest rates, I believe, 0.25% last week, and saw an inflation number in Bulgaria that was 6.9% in May, so that's pretty significant there. So you've gotten, you know, really getting a boost across the globe in terms of benefits from a potential deal between Iran and the U.S. We'll talk a little bit more about that deal in the next segment, but it looks like apparently, if all goes according to plan, will be signed on Friday in Switzerland. Not sure if the president will be attending. He is, I believe, in Europe for the G7 meeting. I believe that goes through Wednesday. So word is, he may stick around and actually attend the signing on Friday, or potentially send another dignitary. Looks like, of course, good news is we've got plenty of green on the screen, as we said. We've got obviously a potential Iran deal out there. That's driving the markets higher. We've got the NASDAQ just cranking up 2.3% at the moment, up to 26,483. And we've got the S&P up just at, right, call it 1.5%, up about 110 points at the moment. And we've got the Dow up 1.1%. That's 566 points. I'm looking here to see. That appears to be here, we hit all time high today. 51,857, was where we hit. We're right now just below that now at 51,770. So, new all time, at least a new all intraday high, for the Dow today. I thought that number was getting up there. So good to see. Always interesting. I think we hit 45 of those on the S&P 500 in 2024. So always good to see the markets hit those different milestones along the way. And of course, we've got crude oil down, under 80 bucks a barrel now, $79.93. Gold getting a boost from the deal as well. That's been an interesting one, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Gold just always tends to do exact opposite of what you think it should do, and there's a good reason for doing what it's doing at the moment, but as a safe haven asset, you would think that gold would have performed much better during the last 100 days during this Iran-U.S. Conflict, and really bad headwind. So what you think gold's going to do, a lot of times it tends to do the opposite, primarily because there's so many different factors out there that affect the price of the shiny metal there. So, of course, like I said, plenty of items to talk about today. We're going to start with the Iran deal, and obviously its far-reaching effects around the globe and an effect on the global economy. Like I said, we've got oil prices down 5% today. So, of course, it's still a fluid situation. I feel like this is about as close as we've been to a true deal at this point in time. But of course, we'll see. It's supposed to be signed on Friday, so we've got a few days to keep our eye on this until at least there's some pen to paper there. So, but of course, none of the deal has been published yet. The agreement reportedly has around 14 points, and it's a deal that these other G7 leaders, you've got Trump, at the G7 meetings, I think they're from Monday to Wednesday this week. And, you've got, interesting. I think, some of the other leaders may not really know yet what's in this document because, like I said, it hasn't been published. A lot of this info is, reporting that's been released. Certainly some of the 14 points here, of course, long-term access to the Strait of Hormuz. Obviously, that's a no-brainer. We've got to get things flowing back again there. Withdrawal of U.S. forces around Iran makes sense. And we've got Iran will essentially reaffirm its commitment under the non-proliferation treaty to abstain from producing nuclear weapons. Obviously, that's one of the key sticking points. And apparently, in this particular deal, negotiations will occur for about a 60-day window to focus on the nuclear weapons piece. So, sounds like that piece of it's been kind of kick the can down the road a few days here to negotiate those talking points. It does note that the you know, military, U.S. military attacks would restart if Tehran failed to reach some type of nuclear agreement with us. So those are, like I said, that's a big, big piece that'll be subject to. We'll see how that shakes out over the next 60 days. Of course, looks like there's some assets. We've obviously frozen a lot of Iranian assets. So those frozen funds will be unfrozen during this particular 60-day window. Apparently half, so $12 billion will be released before the negotiations begin on the nuclear piece. So it's almost like we've got two agreements here. One agreement, in principle, and then of course the follow-on agreement being the nuclear piece. You know, it's going to also include some oil and financial sanctions on, that are going to be lifted on Iran. Some of that could increase the supply of oil and maybe help stabilize oil prices, you know, maybe a little bit quicker than anticipated, particularly if they're able to, you know, ship a sizable amount of oil, particularly if it's more than they were, you know, shipping underneath the veil of ghost ships before this all started. And like I said, the signing is scheduled for Switzerland. We'll see if the president's going to be attending that or not. Of course, the other large sticking point is Israel. So, they're, you know, particularly around, you know, Lebanon and what, you know, how that's going to play out. Of course, it seems that, Netanyahu's kind of, you know, kind of has his line in the sand in terms of, you know, wanting to continue to pursue Hezbollah in Lebanon, wants to maintain some of the territory that they've taken. Provides a buffer for them and any kind of rocket attacks and other things that may be, you know, getting lobbed from Lebanon over to Israel. So that's going to be a it's going to be a big sticking point, and we'll see how that plays out. We've had a lot of back and forth, or at least the media has certainly tried to play a lot of back and forth between Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu at this point. But behind the scenes, I know it seems like, Netanyahu wants to meet with Trump one-on-one to kind of, I guess, to hash out some of the sticking points. So we'll be keeping an eye on that over time. And as we've seen from an asset pricing standpoint, you know, not just about oil. You've seen a, you know, huge surge in chip companies this morning. You've got, Micron at one point was up over 8%. South Korean, memory chip names, both of those were up over 5%, I think, earlier this morning. We've got Western Digital, Seagate, and SanDisk all up over 6% this morning. The AI chip makers, whether it's NVIDIA, was up a little over 2%, I believe. AMD was up about 4%. Broadcom, which we had an article come out on Friday.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital, taking the wheel for Bill today. And of course, we've still got plenty of green on the screen here. Dow's up 1.11%, touched an all-time high, intraday all-time high here earlier. And we've got the S&P 500 up 1.5%, over 7,544 at the moment, and the NASDAQ leading the way up 2.36%, just under 26,500. Oil, the big mover today, down almost 6% actually. We're down below $80 a barrel. We've got gold getting a little bump today, up 3.25%. And Bitcoin also stabilizing here a little bit after touching 63, I think, last week. 63,000. We're at 66,479 on Bitcoin. So, good news here, in terms of a potential deal with Iran. Of course, Bill's newsletter came out this weekend. If you'd like to get a hold of that, feel free to go to GundersonCapital.com. You can sign up for a 4-week trial of the whole enchilada with the live trading and newsletter and the app. So you're welcome to go there and sign up for that there. Or of course, if you'd like to have a discussion with us about your portfolio allocation or financial planning needs or kind of whatever affects your financial life out there, feel free to give us a call at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378. We're always here to be a resource, and Edie will be happy to get you on my calendar, get you on our calendar, and we'll be happy to have a conversation. So, finishing up the Iran piece here, we've got, really asset classes across the board, getting a boost. We're also seeing, pretty big moves in the travel stocks, as you could expect. With oil going down, the thought is, of course, this should eventually pass through to lower, refined gasoline costs, for us drivers, or of course, jet fuel prices for those, flying, and obviously the big airlines out there. You've got, the U.S. Jets ETF, symbols JETF. I guess that's Jets. Climbed 3% in early trading today. I've also seen, United Airlines was up over 4% earlier this morning. American Airlines up over 3% this morning. Delta was also up over 4%. So we're seeing, kind of across the board, even the cruise stocks. Obviously, we use a lot of fuel, boat fuel. Bill will be happy. Maybe his boat fuel costs will go down a little bit. But Carnival rose a little over 3%. Royal Caribbean was up a little over 3.5%. And Norwegian Cruise Line was up 4% as well. And, of course, all of the hotel stocks were getting a boost as we've seen the news break too. So we've got, really, really overall a lot of different asset classes. Like I said, gold, jumping 3% today. Gold's always an interesting animal. I always feel like it does the opposite of what we think it should do. If you look at gold prices since over the last 100 days, it was really, kind of this volatility and that kind of, bumped up the dollar and also bumped up global interest rates. And as the dollar strengthens, also as global interest rates go up, that is a headwind, all else being equal, headwind for global, gold, for gold prices. And so we've seen that even though, the intuition tells you that it should be a safe haven asset, and if you've got, potential World War III breaking out, that gold might would benefit from such uncertainty, but it just hasn't. And like I said, the main reason is a strengthening dollar and a rising global rates, which are both going down today with the news of this potential Iran U.S. peace deal. Last thing here is I did see in terms of, talk about countries being affected. The Eurozone has been, certainly the most affected, I believe, in regards to, the Strait of Hormuz being closed. Euro area actually recorded a trade deficit of over $1 billion, in April. They had a surplus of almost $5 billion in March. So that just shows you the impact and how dependent they are on imported energy. Whether it's the strait being closed or really a combination of the strait being closed and Europe's energy policies over the last decade plus. So they're certainly apt to potentially benefit quickly from this, and they've had higher inflation, as we talked about earlier. The EU has raised a quarter point, and they're continuing to potentially be hawkish at least till 2027. So interesting take there. And of course, like we said, the biggest news of last week and will likely continue to be some big news coming in this week is SpaceX. Stock is currently still getting a boost today. It's actually up 7% at the $172 range. Like I said, as expected, the SpaceX IPO made for great theater on Friday. I think, you know, if you look at these numbers, and, you know, these will probably be some kind of case study that folks, you know, write their doctorate thesis on, or, you know, classes taught in college campuses over the years. It's a very unique IPO and certainly a record-breaking IPO. And it traded on Friday, first time. I think the first price was priced at $135 a share. First trade was at $150 a share. It actually briefly touched $176, I think, and 52 cents. So that was is currently the intraday 52-week high there. Of course, ended up closing around $160.95, just call it $161. That was up about over 19% from that $135 pricing. And valued the company at over $2 trillion on the first day. So, whether you're a fan of Elon or not, we're talking, you know, historic stuff here, folks. Elon is now the world's first trillionaire. He's making up, his wealth essentially is, I think he's the next four richest folks combined is what his net worth is now. And it looks like, I mean, the way I look at it, could go up even further. He's got a stake. His stake in SpaceX is worth about $866 billion. Of course, I think we talked about last week him retaining, you know, roughly, I think it's 82% of the voting control. He's got, you know, he's really got effective authority over the trajectory of the company, over the board. So it's very much Elon's company and his direction. He also holds, I believe, 350 million common shares at an exercise price of $8.39. So he's a pretty nice discount there to the currently trading $172. He's got the ability, I believe, to exercise those through 2031. So it's just a pretty, you know, record breaking IPO here. And, you know, it was somewhat unusual in terms of how it rolled out. They're, you know, usually in IPO, they give you these ranges from, you know, it's going to trade between, you know, this number and that number. In this case, they set the, you know, SpaceX wanted a set number, which was the 100th, where the $135 came from. And unlike other IPOs, there was, you know, very, very heavy, allocation for retail investors given, about 20% of the offering was, you know, provided to retail investors. It's a, you know, much, much higher percentage than most IPOs. And interest from retail investors, I believe, topped over $100 billion. And to put that in perspective, you know, SpaceX is only raising $75 billion from the offering. So, they didn't even really need institutional money. You could have marketed to retail investors, and they were ready to buy, you know, $100 billion worth. Apparently, BlackRock requested to buy $5 billion worth of the shares. So it's, you know, just a big deal here. And we'll put some of these numbers in perspective as to previous IPOs and how SpaceX rates against them. Of course, looks like the market continues to stay in the green. You never know when we start the show what's going to happen, but we're continue to see some momentum there. A little bit's dropped out of the Dow, but we've got the NASDAQ up 2.4% at the moment. S&P 500's up 1.6%, and the Dow is up 1.26% at the moment. And as I mentioned earlier, touched intraday all-time high there for the Dow a little earlier. And, of course, crude oil down just right at about $80 a share, down $80 a barrel, down about 5.5% at the moment. And, of course, As we discussed, the retail allocation demand, the SpaceX IPO is also unique in kind of how fast it's going to be incorporated into major equity indices. So they're going to, I guess, have changed some of the indices have changed the rules and allowed their the inclusion of SpaceX faster than previous IPOs. The NASDAQ, the Russell are going to incorporate them pretty quickly. Of course, you had some pushback by, not surprising, by Elizabeth Warren. She's asked the SEC initially to actually delay the offering. She said it posed unusual risks to retail investors due to its valuation, governance structure, and expected inclusion in major stock indices. So, like I said, to be expected. I guess the governance structure, she doesn't like the fact that Elon owns, controls about 82% of the votes there for the company. But, to see if this is really going to benefit the company, SpaceX, it's still to be seen, getting added or being, added to an S&P 500 or a NASDAQ historically tends to be a decent tailwind, for stocks. In this case, it was, a lot of this was widely reported beforehand. And so, some argue that, the benefits of the, index inclusion trade, if you will, have already been kind of priced in to the stock. So, we'll kind of see how that plays out. I guess that'll be another kind of historic, kind of data point where we can look and see, how much of a benefit, say SpaceX gets, for, being added to these indices versus other names, over the years as they've been added. But main thing is, when you look at this in perspective, the numbers are astounding. SpaceX is now the most valuable company ever to go public. To compare that to others, like I said, over a $2 trillion valuation after the first trading session. Alibaba, for example, went public in 2015. It had a valuation of $169.4 billion. Not even close to the $2 trillion number. Meta, as you will recall, what came out as Facebook, that one was valued at $81.3 billion. Came out in May of 2012. That one really doesn't seem that long ago. I can't believe it's been 14 years since that one debuted. And then we had Uber in 2019. It was valued at $75.5 billion. Just pretty amazing there. It's already in the $1 trillion club. It's joining names like Nvidia, Apple, Microsoft, Taiwan Semi, Tesla, Broadcom, Amazon, and Walmart. And as as we all know, it took most of those decades to hit these numbers. And of course, SpaceX. Started out as $1 trillion out the gate. So, shattering records there. So it's just, I think it's worth spending time on this. We've talked about it and Bill's, Bill's harped on it a lot, from a valuation standpoint. We just don't think we can't get there yet. It doesn't mean we'll never own it, but at this point in time, and when you're trading at those, lofty valuations, I think it's a price to sales of about 26.5 times. I think revenue essentially is trading at 107 times. So the valuation here is very high. Elon says that he thinks the company could earn $1 trillion by 2030. A few other estimates I've seen is that it'd be at $330 billion by 2030. So definitely a big gap there in terms of what the potential for revenues will be, call it 4 or 5 years from now. The I think the first most interesting piece will be that first earnings call. My guess is Elon will be on it, so we'll get we'll probably, if he is, we'll get kind of the throwback to where Elon used to be on the Tesla calls, which were always were always made for good theater. So we'll see that. Yeah, that one I need to find out the first when that data, that first earnings call, because that's going to be a pretty interesting one, I think, to listen in on. The other things there are in terms of what they're doing with the money. They've got to pay off a $20 billion bridge loan. They're going to use a good bit of it to build out some AI infrastructure, whether it's through whether it's Grok or their Colossus data centers. Those are the ones that are here on Earth, not the plans for the ones to send them to outer space. But I mean, if you compare it to other trades out there, I mean, Nvidia trades at 19.7 times times revenue. You've got Microsoft 9 times revenue. Meta's at just under 7 times revenue. Amazon's at 3.5, just under 3.5 times revenue. So to put all those other $1 trillion companies into comparably, SpaceX is much higher valuation than those established companies that have been trading and have been public companies for an extended period of time. So certainly a lot of risk involved. It's going to be interesting watching it this week. And of course, we got the Fed decision on Wednesday. We'll get to hear from Kevin Warsh, the new Fed chairman. So big week this week. Of course, if you'd like to keep up with this, get the newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com.
Or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.